This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey there, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast. Best bits from Wednesday, March the 13th. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Glenn Harwood. He's the co-founder of Algo Driven. Their latest data showing that there has been something of a bounce back when it comes to all things car sales, specifically during Ramadan in recent years. In fact, this year, they're expecting to see a significant increase. So we wanted to talk about the traditions of car sales during the holy month of Ramadan. Glenn joined us live in the studio. Talking of live in studio, Marz Sheikh was also kind enough to give us some of his time this morning, the co-founder and the CEO of Starsplay. Again, same sort of subject. We didn't push Marz for figures on car sales, but we did want to know about the consumption of TV shows and TV programs, specifically Ramadan programs as well. Something of a tradition during Ramadan. But whilst many people will tune in to terrestrial TV channels to watch their Ramadan shows, are people willing to pay for subscriptions and sign up to specific shows? Again, we've got the thoughts of Marz on that. Tom Harvey was in studio. He's the GM commercial for Spinneys. He was happy to join us to talk all things olive oil. Why? We've seen a spike in prices and demand for olive oil the world over. Why is that? And are we also witnessing the same problems here? Plus, we had plenty of conversations in the studio. We were focusing on the Egyptian economy. Why? Huge investment from the UAE into Egypt in recent years and, in fact, in recent weeks. And that seems to have turned the tide thus far, with a number of the ratings agencies, but also major banks and, of course, the IMF looking more favourably on the Egyptian economy. That's one of the discussion points. The other was all things potential IPOs. Parkin extending their IPO offerings. We got the latest on that one. And those latest US inflation numbers also coming through. The team giving their thoughts on that. That's all right here on the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast.
Let's take a quick look at one of the top news stories this morning, which is that, as widely expected, we have seen the guys at Parkin increase the amount of shares that they are offering to retail investors. Now, they haven't increased the size of the offering overall, so the actual shares on sale remain the same. What's happened is that the retail tranche has got larger. It's now 12% of the offering shares as opposed to 10%. The qualified investor tranche will be offered a little bit less, and the subscription period, so the amount of time that everyone's got to buy the shares, also remains the same. Why have they done this? Due to, and I quote, significant demand and oversubscription. It was pretty much baked on that this was going to happen. We've seen the retail tranche be increased with RTA offerings before. So it's not a surprise, but it is a strong indicator of the amount of retail interest that is in this IPO.
Yeah, now we've got to wait for bell ringing, haven't we? So it's closed, that's it, it's done and dusted. And typically it's not long, is it, between closing the IPO and listing on the stock market, ringing the bell, and then we can see, well, are we going to get a first day pop or not? It's one of those things. I mean, I think we might have to gate crash the agenda for a few minutes, because Dubai Financial Market starts trading the minute we go off air, 10 a.m. on the nose. So we don't know if the shares are going to, you know, spike by 10%, fall by 10%. My guess would be, if it's massively oversubscribed, it would spike, but you never quite know, do you? So that I haven't seen a date yet. You haven't seen a date, have you?
For the actual listing,
I don't think they've given one yet.
I know, I can tell you that there will be an actual bell. I was down, and funny enough, Al Ansari, because they were doing a bit of a reno down at DFM at the time. So when Al Ansari listed...
A reno?
Renovation.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the car.
No.
Nicole?
We're absolutely not. They were renovating the DFM when Al Ansari listed, and I went down for the bell ringing of that. And so it wasn't actually at the DFM; it was at the Nasdaq. Well, it's not really a floor, but it was down at Nasdaq in the DIFC, and they did have a proper ship Captain Bell.
Oh,
got to play with it.
You need a bit of merch, don't you?
Looks good for photos as much as anything else.
Precisely. Bring it on. Who knows? So Parkin's going to be the first people, the next people to ring the bell. Who knows will be the next ones after that?
Who knows indeed. Right, let's have a look. One of the other big stories of this morning. It's inflation. We got the inflation numbers in from the US last night, 3.2%. It's higher, not by much, but it is a little bit higher than markets were expecting. It's the second month in a row it has come in higher. Obviously, we're massively on inflation watch. Jay Powell, speaking to Congress a couple of days ago, was saying, look, it is coming down. It's moving in the right direction. But we need it to get there, basically, to massively paraphrase. What does it mean, not so much for this next meeting that we're expecting to stay the same, but for the rate cuts that we might get this year? Some are expecting three. What does it mean for the lineup? This is Dan Richards, senior economist at Emirates NBD.
So what we saw was that the headline measure came in a bit hotter than anticipated at 3.2% year on year. So that's up from 3.1% the previous month. And the expectation had been that the measure would be unchanged. On a monthly basis, prices were up 0.4% month on month as expected. And that is up from 0.3% in January. While core inflation on an annual basis was at 3.8% year on year. So that is a bit of a slowdown from 3.9% previously, but it's still higher than a predicted 3.7%. And essentially, all of these rates are higher than the Fed would like them to be. Now, the effectively sideways trend in inflation since June last year has really proved that the final mile in bringing down price growth to the target level is often the hardest. And there's little in the report that will sway the Federal Reserve towards cutting rates earlier. So on the back of that, we really hold to a view that the central bank will remain on hold until June at the earliest.
And the business breakfast question, what does that mean for us?
Given the currency peg we have between the dirham and the dollar, monetary policy decisions in the UAE tend to move in lockstep with those in the US. So a hold from the Federal Reserve next week would mean that the UAE central bank won't be cutting its own benchmark interest rates anytime soon either. This means that the cost of borrowing, whether that's for a mortgage or business expansion, will remain at comparatively elevated levels. Nevertheless, we still expect that GDP growth in the non-oil sectors will remain fairly robust this year in the UAE, and with interest rates expected to start coming off in H2, this should provide a further fillip to activity through the end of the year.
Not the only report that we asked Dan about this morning. We've also spoken to him about OPEC's demand. It's one demand forecast, one of two reports that have come out from oil bodies this week. On Thursday, we're going to get the IEA, the International Energy Agency's outlook. Their reports are often at odds with OPEC. OPEC make oil. Effectively. So you could argue they have a barrel in this fight. They are standing firm on their oil projections for this year. We've asked Dan to put that in context for us.
OPEC kept its oil demand projections for the next 2 years unchanged at its meeting this week, at growth of 2.2 million barrels a day for this year and 1.8 million barrels a day in 2025. The group did, however, rise up its global GDP growth forecast for 2024 from 2.7% to 2.8%, citing in particular a strong performance from the US and India, even while acknowledging the somewhat weaker performance from the likes of the Eurozone and Japan. Now, this outlook on oil demand growth from OPEC is significantly more bullish than that of the IEA, which predicts growth of 1.2 million barrels a day this year, so 1 million barrels less. Those voluntary OPEC Plus cuts were recently extended through the second quarter at least, and whether they remain in place through the remainder of the year or not likely depends on which body has a more accurate demand growth projection.
And Dan Richards, senior economist of Emirates NBD.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
I was speaking to a man about a bottle this morning, as we have been discussing the price of olive oil rising more than 50% in some areas of Europe last year on the back of higher temperatures and droughts leading to poor harvests. What does that mean for what we're buying here? Very pleased to be joined by Tom Harvey, Commercial General Manager at Spinneys. Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And what have you seen in the price of oil that you're importing?
Well, so far, in terms of the prices that we have been selling it to customers, there hasn't been any change. The rise in olive oil is not a new story. I think Richard mentioned it already. Since about 2019, 2020, there has been a continual rise, primarily driven by poor harvests, a lot of hot weather, a lot of drought in southern Europe. So that has reduced things, reduced the quantity of olives available, and that is leading through to prices. We've so far been able to hold off. We are certainly facing some very significant increases, but we don't expect to see all of that passed on to the customer. And actually, there is some light at the end of the tunnel already. So Spanish harvest is expected to come in a little bit higher than they thought, and so prices are already dropping off about 4% lower for March than it was in February.
Okay, well, you say you don't expect all of that to be passed on to customers. Will you be passing some of it on?
I think, unfortunately, it's inevitable. When we're looking at about a 50% increase in the price for this year, that is not something that we can swallow. So we haven't passed it on yet. I know Tom's already mentioned the Spinney's food olive oil. That still remains a great value alternative to some of the other brands that we stock. So all of our Spinney's private label products are at least 10% cheaper than the leading national brand, and that is still a fabulous price in our stores today.
So where you might have to pass it on, what source markets are we talking about, and what kind of price increase would we be talking?
Well, it varies by supplier, and it varies by country. So we actually bring olive oil in from six different countries. Spain, Italy, Greece are the big ones, but we've also got Lebanon, Tunisia, and an increasingly important area for us is actually Australia. Now, olive oil is a commodity price, so there are prices going up across all of the countries, but we're seeing bigger increases come through from places like Spain. Our main source of our Spinney's olive oil is Italy, from the Basso family who produce it for us there, and we're not seeing such a big increase there.
Okay, but we could be talking, what, 5, 10, 15, 20% and some? What's the...
As I say, it varies in terms of different suppliers are coming in with different price increases. So we're working through that with the suppliers, and we'll see where that ends up. But we don't expect to see all of it come through and passed on to the consumer.
It's not the only commodity facing weather-related shortages, though. I mean, we've spoken to a number of local chocolate makers and dessert makers about cocoa futures at record highs. Sugar prices also high. What's that going to mean for the price of your Easter eggs this year?
Well, for Easter, fortunately, it's not a problem. We plan and we buy Easter a long way in advance. By sheer chance, yesterday I was actually copied in on an email from one of our suppliers to say, by the way, the Ramadan and Easter ranges for 2025 are now available for you to start placing orders. So we plan Easter. It's basically done 12 months in advance. So the products are manufactured well in advance. They haven't seen the impact on the cocoa prices for the products we've sourced for this year. So there will be no difference in the price on the shelf for our customers.
And of course, for a lot of the staples for Ramadan, we know that prices are controlled here in the UAE. What are you expecting to see in volumes this year, though?
Well, it's already been a good start. So traditionally, the week before Ramadan and this, the first week of the holy month, are the two very big ones. They have certainly started off very strong for us. So a significant uplift in our sales. We hope that we see that continue through the rest of the month.
What kind of percentage could we be talking, do you think, Ramadan this year compared to last? I'm trying to get almost a population feel for how it's growing.
So we've been seeing strong single digits year-on-year growth through the last year. It was a very, very good year for us, and that's continued this year. And we're seeing that very much play through in the Ramadan numbers. So it's good high single digits.
What's 2023 been like as a whole?
Best year ever for Spinney's. So, as I say, a very strong growth in sales, high single digit performance on 2023, and it has been a result of strong transaction numbers. So, it's been the same thing. We've seen high single to low double digit growth in our customer numbers in the last year, and see that continuing now.
What about the basket size? The last year has had a lot of talk about cost of living, people obviously watching their pockets, more customers, but what about the average customer spend?
So we've not seen any change in the average customer spend. We've seen a mixture of products change, but actually there's really been no change in the amount people are spending from one basket to the next.
How's the mix of products changed?
So we see significant growth, particularly into fresh, convenient and prepared products. So what we call our meal solutions, which is all of the lovely sandwiches and the fresh salads, that's the area where we're seeing particularly strong growth and a change in the types of products that customers are buying.
Do you think that means that people are perhaps taking a packed lunch rather than going out? Could there be a... What would you Could you put a narrative on that for
me? I think what we're seeing is a whole load of different factors coming together. So we've certainly seen, particularly in the last year, there's been a greater rise in consumers going back to the office. So less of the working from home. And so people are eating out of the home more often, whether it's Al Desco or coming in just to grab something to have a quick, easy, tasty, convenient bite to take home after work and have it ready on the table as soon as I get back.
So strong 2023 numbers. Obviously, the IPO question, does that bring you closer to an announcement?
Well, we are continuing to explore all the options in terms of what we might look at with our future expansion. There have not been any public announcements yet, so you'll have to wait for those before I would be able to say anything.
What does exploring look like, Tom?
So that's as much as I'm going to say. We are exploring opportunities. We continue to do that year in, year out, as all businesses do in terms of looking at future growth opportunities.
All right. Well, let's talk about their expansion. You've got a shop about to open in Riyadh.
We have, yep. So Riyadh, we're expecting our first store to open in the first half of this year. So, new expansion into Riyadh. We've got more expansion into stores in the UAE. So continued growth there. And then we've also got a new concept that we're very excited about, which is it's really building on that trend of increased out-of-home eating with the launch of something called The Kitchen by Spinneys, which will be opening very soon in Dubai Mall.
What's The Kitchen?
So The Kitchen takes all the best bits of the fresh food offer from Spinneys, but offers them for customers to basically grab and go. So we part with a lot of the core grocery offer, and in locations where we have a high level of traffic for consumers wanting quick, fresh, convenient food solutions, we'll have that in a smaller store format in high traffic areas like malls. That allows us to grow the customer population even more.
Could we see it in a DIFC, in a more of an office area?
Yeah, so we've already got a Waitrose store in Brookfield Place, which is doing that, and we would look for new locations in DIFC to bring The Kitchen by Spinneys as well.
Tom Harvey is the commercial general manager at Spinneys, a company that we are on IPO watch for, even if he will not be drawn into it this morning. We appreciate your time coming in and talking about the rising cost of commodities such as olive oil.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Let's talk about the economics of Ramadan, in particular the economics of television during Ramadan. Joining us in the studio, the co-founder and CEO of Starzplay, Mars Sheikh. Morning, Mars.
Good morning.
Busy time for all TV companies in the region, particularly you guys. Before I get your thoughts on it, let's hear from Starzplay. This is one of your hit shows for the holy month. It is called Qaimat Ramadan, and this is what it sounds like. That is the sound of 16 chefs from across the world taking over the kitchen to prepare a range of iftar and sahur recipes. Let's look at the bigger picture. Ramadan, traditionally a big deal for TV, but with the rise of social media and video gaming, is it still, Mars?
It still is. It's still a big month for advertising, for general advertising industry, but also for subscription TV streaming businesses like us. So for us, the focus is always not just on the Arabic content, but also supplement that with sports and general entertainment content from Hollywood as well. So this Ramadan, we've got several major Arabic shows like the ones you highlighted. But in addition to that, we've got two epic historical dramas. And that's a genre that's done well for us always.
So in terms of viewership, what kind of spike do we see during the holy month? For example, we had the guys from Agthia, the food company, in last week. They say they see about a 20 to 30% increase in sales of dates during the holy month. What do your viewing figures tell you?
So in general, I would say this is our 10th Ramadan, by the way, this year. So very blessed to be in our 10th year. And we've learned a few things over the years. And one of those is that, you know, as much as the consumption and viewing increases on linear television, free-to-air television. What we like to do is supplement that, not necessarily compete or try to replace that. So we see our role as complementary to what's happening in the linear television, especially during Ramadan. So for us, typically, year on year, we see about a 20% increase in consumption. But this year is slightly different for us because in addition to the traditional Ramadan dramas, we have several major sporting events as well. Because one of the things we realized over the last 10 years in the region is that we're blessed to have a region with diverse audience and needs. And so as much as we focus on Ramadan content, this year we also have the Indian Premier League starting on March 22nd with the Chennai Super Kings and Bangalore Royal Challengers as the opening match. In addition to that, we have UFC, which is now for Stars Play's the exclusive home of UFC going forward. So you'll have the UFC 300, which is a title fight between Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill coming up, which will also be near Ramadan or Eid timing. So as much as we like to focus on the Ramadan series, we also like to supplement that with sports.
Sounds expensive. Producing original content like Khaimat Ramadan, which we heard from earlier, buying the rights to the Indian Premier League and UFC, they are in demand at the moment. We know you've got big backing now from our friends down the road in Abu Dhabi. What kind of checks are you writing, given that obviously you've signed NDAs? You're not going to give me exact numbers, but what can you tell me, Mars?
Look, the as far as the original Arabic shows are concerned, especially post-Ramadan, the costs, I would say, have doubled, if not tripled, right? So one of our shows, which is Al-Waid, it's a 7th century epic drama between a father and son, Khalifa al-Zanati and Abu Zayd al-Hilali, who declares war on his father. It's 7th century epic drama. It was produced by a company here in Abu Dhabi and shot in the region. This drama was perhaps our most expensive drama till date.
Can you give me a ballpark on what you're paying per hour to produce?
So in general, I would say if you're producing a high quality scripted drama, it'll be in the range of 2 to 3 million dirhams an episode. It can go as high.
Okay, fine. So in terms of competing for eyeballs, like you say, you've been doing this 10 years now. We've been talking to you, and probably 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, you'd have been in during Ramadan and we'd have said, Mars, how are you going to compete against the free-to-air companies, right? NBC, the big one, but also Dubai One and Dubai, right, TV, which we're broadcasting on at the moment, and how are you going to compete against Netflix? Now we're asking you, how are you going to compete against social media and video games?
Right. So on Dubai TV and Abu Dhabi TV, our goal is not to compete head to head, right? So we carve out a strategy and supplement that viewing with content that's differentiated and ads free and includes sports. So that's our strategy on the free to air competition. On social media, it's still evolving, Richard. I wish I had an answer, but I would say it's an evolving strategy. The focus, therefore, is on premium scripted, high quality content that's ads free, that's on entertainment side, and especially that's why we're going more into sports. Is that's one area that still remains premium and still behind a paywall, and will remain behind a paywall and not on the social media as much.
In terms of market share, I was quoted some figures earlier, but they're a year or two old now about the streaming wars here in the Middle East. And it was essentially the big three were you and Netflix and Shahid from NBC. But I haven't got updated figures. What's the latest data that you have?
There was a couple of months ago, there was a report that came out from DTVE, which is another bellwether research report for the region. And it's still the big three, as you said. Shahid was number one. Stars Play was number two, followed by Netflix at number three, according to this report, on market size.
We know globally there's a trend among consumers, starting in the United States, as many things do, to streamline our streaming subscriptions, whether it's music or TV. You suddenly get to a point you think, well, I've got 8 of these things and I just can't afford it and I just don't need it. What are you seeing here in terms of consolidation? We haven't got long left.
So I would say you'll see more consolidation of general entertainment content. I think sports is getting consolidated on two platforms. You have Todd/BN. And then you have Stars Play. So sports is getting consolidated in two platforms, and that's very clear. On entertainment, you still have some fragmentation over 3 to 4 platforms. And I think that it'll stay that way for the coming years.
What can you tell me about top-line revenue growth for Stars Play year on year, either 2024 versus 23 or 23 versus 2022?
So 23 versus 24, Richard, we doubled our business.
23 versus 22?
22 versus 20. Sorry, 20. Yes, 22 versus 23, we doubled our business.
In terms of revenue?
In terms of top-line revenue, yeah.
Which obviously begs the question, not the first person this morning in the Business Breakfast studio, we've asked you, what about a potential IPO?
Look, that's always in the cards, but it's all depends on our shareholders and what they would like to do and when. But that's always on the cards.
If we had a dirham for every time, Brandy Scott, we'd had the answer. You'll have to ask the shareholders. I'm just an employee.
Mess, what would you like to do?
I would like to continue to run the business and stay employed at Stars Play. And keep that paycheck coming.
We would like you to do much the same, Mars Sheikh. He is a shareholder because he's a co-founder of Stars Play as well as being the CEO. It's been a pleasure talking to you over the past 10 years, and it is now. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
So we continue our focus on a number of the economic drivers during the holy month of Ramadan. We are into the first week of Ramadan, just a few days in fact. Ramadan traditionally a time of year that a lot of people look for a deal when it comes to trading in their car. A lot of automotive dealers in the past have used Ramadan for their Ramadan car deals. Yet we saw them sort of dive off during the pandemic. Have they come back? Well, let's ask the team at Algo Driven. The co-founder of Algo Driven is Glenn Harwood. He's been kind enough to join us live here in studio this morning. Good morning to you, Glenn.
Good morning, Tom.
Right, what's your data showing us at the moment? Algo Driven's data, is that suggesting that car dealers are expecting to do good business this month?
Yeah, well, traditionally Ramadan's the best time of the year for car dealers, and I think the expectation is this year will be as good as, if not better, than what we've seen last year.
Last year, did we see an increase? Because we know that we had a few issues when it came to chip supply that affected the number of cars that were coming into the country. That started the previous year as well. Before that, of course, we had the pandemic. There's been a few issues that have addressed or concerned automotive dealers here when it comes to supply and demand.
Yeah, well, I think the demand's certainly been there from the consumer side, but the supply has been the real issue, not being able to get the cars in the showroom to deliver out the door. So statistically, last year was a great year up from the year before, but the year before wasn't as good as normal because of the pandemic and the chip issues. So I think as those chip issues subside, certainly there's new headwinds ahead, but as of today, I think there's more supply in the showrooms, and I think it's going to be a better Ramadan than what we've seen in the last few years for car dealers.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. I mean, you just have to look at the showrooms. They're a lot fuller at the moment as well. So as you suggest, percentage-wise, sales growing around about 20% year on year, is that about it?
Yeah, we're predicting that this Ramadan will be about a 20% lift in the peak from what we saw last year, which is really, you know, strong demand is continuing and then there's more supply on top of that.
I've noticed more adverts this year, you know, especially when it comes to outdoor advertising down the Shakeside Road and other thoroughfares as well. The question I've got, though, is why is Ramadan a good time to buy a car?
Well, I think it's a little bit of push and pull, Tom. People who have traditionally bought cars in Ramadan keep the tradition up, you know. If you change over your car at that time of year, you're on that cycle of changing your car. On the flip side, it's also often the best time of year to buy a car. So you've got this consumer pull, and then you've also got the dealer push. So it ends up those two forces collide, and that's where you see that huge sales spike.
Do you get better deals, though?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can already see with the deals that are in the market, it's a better deal than what you probably would have got 2 or 3 months ago, and it's probably better than what you're going to get in 2 or 3 months' time.
Talk to me about the current state of the market, because I suppose that sort of feeds in as well. Yeah, they've got more supply now for the dealers, so therefore they can afford to be a little bit more generous with some of the deals they're putting together. Where are we at the moment? Are we changing cars as often as we have been in the past here?
Yeah, so certainly the fact that there was no supply meant people kept their cars a little bit longer. And then the other piece of the supply puzzle is it's not across the board. There's certainly cars which you can't walk into a showroom and buy and there's a waiting list on. So it's sort of the tale of two tales here, where you've got some cars where there's plenty of supply and there's probably a great deal to be had. And then there's other cars or certain models which are still in short supply and there might be a waiting list and less of a deal to be had this Ramadan.
What about used cars? Are there plenty out there at the moment, quality used cars?
No, used cars are in really short supply. And if you think back, people tend to keep their cars around 3 years, give or take maybe a year either side. 3 years ago, we were in the middle of the pandemic, so there was no new cars being sold, or very few new cars being sold. So that means there's been really short supply of quality used cars in the market.
You and I just mentioned that we've seen new cars come to market here. There's also been new brands as well, seeing a lot more Chinese brands on the roads. Are they having a dent on the market?
Yeah, absolutely. There's just been a flood of new Chinese brands over the last 12 months, and that's continuing over the next 12 months. If we look at the announcements and the partnerships that have been formed, there's going to be even more Chinese brands. But, you know, that means it's great for consumers. They've just got, they're spoilt for choice when they look at the wider options to choose from.
What's your sort of prediction for the rest? Obviously, we're looking at Ramadan. It could be a very profitable time, or certainly a very busy time for the manufacturers and the dealers themselves. But what about 2024 as a year? Is this a bounce back year for the automotive industry?
I think last year was certainly a bounce back year. Whether it continues throughout the year, I think, is yet to be seen. I think, you know, there's new supply chain challenges, there's cost of living challenges on the consumer side. I think we're going to have a good Ramadan, but I think as the year progresses on, we're going to see used car prices decline a little bit faster. And, you know, I think the last 6 months, we'll see what happens on the new car sales side of things.
And just finally, I mean, on the process of, and again, going back to traditions, and one of the Ramadan traditions is going down to the showroom and having a look around. You may take the family with you as well. Is that still the case? Are people still visiting showrooms, or have we gone a lot more digital these days?
Look, certainly digital has risen, and a lot of people are doing their research and they're pre-looking online. But I think if you walk into any showroom on Sheikh Zayed Road at 10 o'clock at night during Ramadan, you'll find it packed.
Really, at 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's where it's happening. Glenn, good on you, fella. Thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. Really appreciate all your insight into this topic. Glenn Harwood is the co-founder of Algo Driven.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com. You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.